Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is Gemara Psachim Daf Samach Beis. We're about a little bit more than a third of the way down the line of Samach Beis and Aleph, a little bit above the Tosos, Maishna. And we begin with the words, Amale Mazutra Berei de Rav Mari Leravina. Mazutra is the son of Rav Mari, says to Ravina the following Shailah. Now this goes back on the Braisa that we learned in yesterday's shiur. And we said over there, Ktani, we learned over there, Hoel the Orla Poseles, the Tuma Poseles. We learned there that Orla, if a person is having in mind to shech the carbon Pesach for both Arelim and Mutarim, so then it's good. But if it's just for Arelim, then it's going to be Posel. Likewise, if a person shechs just for Tmeim, it's going to be Posel. If it's for Tmeim as well as Tahorim, it's going to be Mutar. Now, we learned over there in the Braisa, Ma Tumma, Lo Osabo Miktsas Tumma Kechol Tumma. We made a distinction between doing it only, having in mind the Shechita, only for Tumma people, which would be no good, versus if there were some Tumma and some Tahorim, it would be okay. So we distinguished between Lo Osabo Miktsas Tumma Kechol Tumma. We made a distinction between whether they were only partially the people that he was Shechting for were Tumayim versus all of them were Tumayim. So too, we said, Af Arla. So too, lo also mixas or likuchol orla. As long as it was some people that were mulim and some people were arelim, it was okay. Unless all of them were arelim, then it was no good. Now, hay tuma hechidami. What type of tuma are we referring to over there that we said that we distinguish between some people being tamei and all of the people being tamei? Hechidami. What again are we talking about? Ilema bitumas gavre. If we're talking about the people, that half the people were tamei, half the people were tahorim. So then, umai, what does it mean? Lo also ba mixas tumma kechol tumma, that you didn't make some of them being tamei as if all of them were tamei. That means the ika arba v'chamisha gavri tameim, the arba v'chamisha gavri tahorin, lo posli luhu tameim l'tahorin. As we pointed out, that if, let's say, four or five people were Tamei, and four or five people in the Chabura with Tahorim, so we don't make the Tameim ruin it for the Tahorim, and this is a perfectly good Karban Pesach. Likewise, lo pas lelu Tameim l'Tahorim, just like the Tameim aren't going to ruin it for the Tahorim, gabi or lenami, in regards to four or five people being Arelim, and four or five people being Mulim, holo pasli, they don't ruin it as well. The Tanan, as we learned in the Mishnah, lemulin v'la'arelim, if you shech the Karban Pesach on behalf of mulim as well as arelim, it's kosher. Now, ma'ishna tumo de pshitalei, u'ma'ishna arlo de mesavkalei. Why, if we learn this in the Mishnah, that the din is the same for partially tmei and partially tahorim, and partially arelim and partially mulim, why do we learn that? It's obvious that that din is the same in the Mishnah. So how come in the Braisa we have to make a comparison between, oh, just like the Tumah, it's only Mixas Tumah and not Kol HaTumah that makes it going to be possible only if it's Kol HaTumah, but Mixas Tumah doesn't ruin it. Oh, so therefore we learn that as well, that so too the Arelim, it's only if it's all Arelim and not Mixas Arelim. Why would one be different than the other? The Mishnah clearly taught us both of them. So why do I need the Braisa to tell me that you can only learn out the Mixas Arelim from the Mixas Tumah case? That's the question that Mazutra Berei Rav Mari asked to Ravina. So Ravina says, Elo, betumas basa. We're not talking about the Tumah of the Tmeim in the Braisa. We're talking about the Tumah of the basa. And the Chiddush is, Umay, when it says, Lo also ba Mixas Tumah, Kichol Tumah, we don't make Mixas Tumah like all Tumah. What does that mean? It's not talking about Gavri, four or five people that are Tmeim, four or five people that are Tahorim. No. The Ilu Itme Chad Nevarim. If one of the limbs of the Karban became Tamei, only that limb is Tamei. Hai di'itne sarfinile. That one has to be burned. However, the idach, the other limbs that are not Tamei, they're Tahorim, the idach achlinile. You're allowed to still eat them. That was the chiddush over here in the Braisa. The din is that Mixas Tumah is talking about the Mixas Basar Tumah and not Mixas Gavre. So that's the teretz the Ravina told Marzutra Breder of Mori. But Marzutra Breder of the Rav Mari doesn't like this teretz. He said, therefore, B'mayu Kimta. So now, how have you explained this Braisa? You're telling me that the Braisa is talking about Betumas Basar. So keep on reading the Braisa. Eima Seifa, if the beginning of the Braisa is talking about Tumas Basar, Mestama, the end of the Braisa is talking about Tumas Basar. So now read the end of the Braisa. It said, Donin Dovar She'enu Noi B'chol Azvachem. We try to learn out something that is not by all Zvachem, such as people that are Arelim. It's not applicable to all karbanos because they can send their karban with somebody else. And likewise, we compare it to something that is not applicable to all karbanos, a tamei person. Well, again, both the arelim and the Tmeim aren't allowed to go and eat a regular korban, but they each can send a korban via shaliach, as opposed to the korban Pesach, which they're not allowed to even send via shaliach. So therefore, this is different. It says that we should make the comparison between the mulim and the tmeim, because both of them have the same din, that it's not applicable by all korbanos. They can in fact send the other korbanos, but they can't send the korban Pesach. And don't compare it, v'al yochiach zman, don't compare it to pigul, the din of pigul, chutz l'zmano, shenoy b'chol ezvachem. There are no exceptions to that rule. So therefore, in the end of the braisa, we said, let it compare tumah and arelim, rather than compare it to pigul. Umay tumah, what type of tumah are we talking about? Now, again, the reish of the braisa, we said just now, it's talking about tumas basar. So now, let's say the sefer is also talking about tumas basar. Inema tumas basar. So then, amai enu noe, we call it zvachim. So then, wait a second, that is applicable by all of zvachim. Any carbon that's tome is not allowed to be eaten. There are no exceptions to that rule. And therefore, elapshita betumas gavre. So then the sefer is talking about tumas gavre. So therefore, the reish is talking about tumas basar, and the sefer is talking about tumas gavre. And what it means in the Sefer, umay einu noy b'chol hazvachim, what does it mean that it's not noy by all zvachim? Dilu b'chol hazvachim, oral v'tomei mishalchim korban aseim. By all other korbanos, as we just pointed out, the oral and the tomei are allowed to send their korban and have somebody else bring it, and somebody else can eat it. As opposed to, by the korban Pesach, dilu korban Pesach, Arel, the Tomei, Eim, Shalcha, B'Sklam. They can't send their korban Pesach. The Arel and the Tomei aren't allowed to eat it, and the Iker by the korban Pesach is eating it. So therefore, Marzutra, Bereid, Rav Mari, questions Ravina, and he says, according to you, the Reisha is talking about Tumas Basar, and the Sefer is talking about Tumas Gavre. That doesn't make sense. And Ravina says, it does. I'm going to lay in. It does make sense. Shame, Tumah, Koparich. The point of here is each talking about Tumah, albeit different aspects of Tumah. The Reisha is talking about Tumas Basar, and the Sefer is talking about Tumas Gavre. No problem. That's Teretz number one. Alternatively, what are you saying about Teretz number two? No, the Sefer was Nami b'Tumas Basar. The Sefer is also talking about Tumas Basar. That which we said, but Tumas Basar would be Noeg by all Karbanos? No, it's not. Umay enu Noeg b'chol hazvachim. When it says it's not Noeg by all the Zvachim, the Ilu b'chol hazvachim, bein shenit mocheleh. If the chelev is Tameh, but u'basar kaim, and the meat is still there, so then you can do the Zrika. Or bein shenit mabasar, or if the meat is tame, but the chaylev is kaim and it's not tame, in both of those situations, as long as one of the two, either the chaylev or the basar is around, that it's tar, then you still, the kohen can do the zrika, zorik es adam. As opposed to the korban Pesach, where the ikar again is the eating of the korban Pesach. Here, if you have nitma, the chaylev became tame, and the basar is kaim, then you're still allowed to do the zrika. The coin can be Zorik as Adam, but here's where it's different. Nitma Basar, if the Basar became Tameh, even though the Chelev is Kayim, and for every other Karban, you'd still be allowed to do the Zrika. By the Karban Pesach, if the Basar is Tameh, even though the Chelev is Kayim, ain't no Zorik as Adam. The coin can't do the Zrika. So that's the Chiddush over here. That's why it's different in regards to all other Karbanos than by the Karban Pesach. So bottom line is, according to this version, B'mayu Kimta, how we learn the Braisa? We learn the Braisa, B'tumas Basar, both the Reisha and the Sefer are dealing with Tumas Basar. But now keep on reading in the Braisa, and the Sefer, go to the next part of the Braisa. Again, Sefer and Reisha are relative terms. When you say Reisha and Sefer, it's Reisha compared to the next thing, which is the Sefer, even though it's the Mtsiusa, it's the middle part. And when you say Sefer, it's only in relative terms to the Reisha. So yeah, we keep on reading in the Braisa, go to the next part, Ema Sefer, keep on reading. It says, Donin, you should go and compare something such as the arelim, for which there are no exceptions to the rule. An arel can never be involved in a korban, and compare it to something that also has no exceptions to the rule, such as the chutz l'zmano, the pigo. There are no exceptions to the rule. So the sefer, the braisa said, no, instead of comparing the arelim to tumah and not to pigo, it says, go and compare the arelim, which is something that is never an exception to the rule, to pigo, which never has an exception to the rule, the al-tochiach tumah, and don't bring me a comparison to tumah, which has exceptions to the rule. Shari hutu michola. There are exceptions to the rule. Tumah hutra b'tzibur. Now, b'mai, what are you saying that we're learning about over here, the tumah? If you're telling me that the Reisha and the first Sefer, the Mitzuyusa, are dealing with Tumas Basar, so Ilei, if you're telling me we turn to Samach Beis on the Beis, if you're telling me the Tumas Basar, that we're learning this in Tumas Basar, so Hechi Hutra, where do we ever find that Tumas Basar is permissible? Normally, even though we say Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, that's to allow you to bring the carbon, but it doesn't allow you to eat the carbon. So even if the majority of the Tzibur is Tumah, so you're allowed to go and bring the carbon in that situation. The carbon tzibur is allowed to be brought. So let's say it's a musaf and it's a carbon chata. So normally the kohanim can eat it, but here the kohanim can't eat it. So hechi hutra. So what are you talking about that it's permitted? You don't find it ever permitted. El pshita. So then this sefer, the third part of the brisa, el pshita b'tumas gavrei. It's talking about tumas gavrei. The hechi hutra mechlala. And where do we find that it's hutra mechlala b'tzibur? We're talking about if the majority of the people are tummy, then you're allowed to bring it. So therefore, what do you have? You have the Reisha, the Tumas Basar. The Reisha and the Mitzuyusa are talking about Tumas Basar and Seifa. And the real Seifa, the last part, is talking about the Tumas Gavre. Does that really make sense that we have a split over here in the Mishnah? First it's talking about Tumas Basar, then it's talking about Tumas Basar, then it's talking about Tumas Gavre. What's it you're in? Shame Tumah Kaparo. Same terms that we gave before, that's not a problem. The Brisa is in general talking about different types of tumah, and it's not a problem that some of it's tumas basar and some of it's tumas gavrei. That's teretz number one. We give similarly teretz number two. Vibay seima, no. Kula b'tumas basar. Even the same is talking about tumas basar. If it's talking about tumas basar, then what's the difference? Vehi hutra. How do you say hutra mikola, that there are exceptions to the rule? Oh, that's the whole point. B'tumas pesach. The carbon pesach can be eaten b'tumah. The whole purpose of the carbon pesach is not for a kapara, not to do the zrika, but it's to eat the carbon pesach as opposed to all of the kabanos with the ikar part. Is the zrika to bring you about a kapara, and yes, you're allowed to eat it when it's permissible to be eaten by the kohanim or by the balim, whoever it's permissible to be eaten by, but that's not the ikar part, as opposed to the korban pesach, which we're going to learn in the Mishnah, in Daf Ayin Vav, and the Mishnah is going to tell us over there that it's not pesach haba betumah, if the tzibur is tameh, and you're allowed to bring the korban pesach betumah, as opposed to other kabanas, which you're only allowed to bring them betumah, but not allowed to eat them betumah, the korban pesach, when it's brought betumah, Nechal bituma shalobah mitchiloso el liachila. The carbon pesach is unique. It's allowed to be eaten even if it's brought bituma, because the whole purpose of the carbon pesach is to eat it, and that's why it's hutum miklala. And therefore, even if the sefer is talking about tumas basar, it is an exception, and therefore it makes sense, according to the sefer the brisa, to go and compare arelim to pigol, that neither of them has an exception. There's always a din of arelim can't eat the basar, and there's always a din of chutz luzman or pigol that always has ruined it, as opposed to tumah. Sometimes tumah's basar is hutra b'tzibur, such as the korban pesach. That concludes this little sugya over here, and now we go back to the gemara that we learned in the end of yesterday's shir. We pointed out the Rav Chisda that we said under certain situations does apply the principle of Hoel, and we said that he does say Hoel, since the person could, if he wanted to get a bris milah, go from being an Arel into the status of being a Mul, and therefore we go Luchumra, according to Rav Chisda, when we applied the principle of Hoel, that since the Arel could become Hoel, since he could become a Mul, so therefore he is considered a bar kapara, we pry the plus of the near to the love, and therefore, hoel the boy, misaki nafshe. If he wished to, he could even sakim himself by undergoing a bris milah. So, therefore, Rav Chisda does apply the principle of hoel luchumra. That's what we said at the very top of the omud of Samach Beis Amud Aleph, which was the end of yesterday's shir. Now we question that. Vazir Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua. Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua asked the following shaila against this idea that Rav Chisda does hold hoel luchumra. He says, Ha Pesach Sh'avur Shinoso. If you have a Korban Pesach that passed its year, a Korban Pesach is supposed to be brought in the first year of life. It has to be a set or a little baby goat that is less than 1 year old. Now, if it passes the 1 year threshold, then it's no longer eligible to be brought to the Korban Pesach. So what happened over here? Ha Pesach Sh'avur Shinoso. This Korban Pesach was designated as Korban Pesach, but it's more than 1 year old now. Ushichoto Bizmano Lishmo. And they shechted it next Pesach, during the time of the Korban Pesach, Lishmo, Lishem Korban Pesach, but it was Avro Shinoso. Or, V'chein HaShochet Acherim Lishem Pesach Bismano. Or, if you shechted a different Korban that was designated as a different Korban, and you designated it during the time of the Korban Pesach, Lishem Pesach Bismano. So again, you're shechting over here, these two cases, either you're shechting a Korban Pesach Avro Shinoso at the right time for the Korban Pesach, but it's not a good Korban Pesach, or you're shechting another Korban at the right time for the Korban Pesach, l'shem Korban Pesach, but it wasn't a Korban Pesach. So in both of these situations, the Braisa tells us that Rabbi Elezer is posel, Rabbi Yeshua is machsher. Rabbi Elezer says it's no good, and Rabbi Yeshua says that it is good in this situation. Rashi explains that this is a whole discussion in the Gemara in Zvachim, and he says the reason for Rabbi Eliezer saying you posel, he brings down from Perakam in Zvachim, Uma Pesach Shemosaro Bo Shlomim, a Korban Pesach, if it's a Moser Korban Pesach, if it's not brought at the time the Korban Pesach becomes a Shlomim, and Shachatu L'Shem Shlomim Bismano Posel, but if you shechted it as a Shlomim during the time of the Pesach, it's no good. So certainly a Korban Shlomim, She'ein Mosron Bon Pesach, which doesn't turn into a carbon Pesach, if you shecht it, L'shem Pesach, Bisman Pesach, Ein Odin Sheposel, certainly it's going to be no good. And that's why Reles is posel. On the other hand, Rishus Machshir, Rashi continues and says, the kol zvachim, shenizvachim, shelo lishmon, sherin. Any carbon, with the exception, chutz mi Pesach v'chatas, with those two exceptions, any carbon that's shechted improperly, not for the right shame, is still a good carbon. It won't fulfill your obligation for whatever you said you were going to bring, but it doesn't become a posel of carbon. Now, v'mishum d'nishchatu l'shem Pesach, if you're shechting l'shem korban Pesach, kal v'chomer, u'ma shelo bizmano, a carbon that's not in the zman of the korban Pesach, she'eino kosher l'shmo, wouldn't be good for it being done l'shem korban Pesach when it's not bizmano. So certainly, if you're going to do bizmano shu kosher l'shmo, if you shechted in the right time, eino din shi'chashu acherim l'shmo, so others should also be good if they're done l'shmo. Again, this is a whole discussion between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua that we have in the Gemara in Zvachim, in Parakama there, but that's not our concern right now. Right now we want to focus on Rav Huna's question. So Rav Huna is asking to Rav Chista, and he says, based upon this, that Rabbi Eliezer's poser and Yeshua's machshir, tamo bismano, the reason why Rabbi Eliezer says that it's no good is because you're shechting it l'shem korban Pesach, Bisman of the Korban Pesach, implication being, ha shelo bismano, but if you were to go shecht something, the same Korban Pesach, but not during the time of the Korban Pesach, it would be okay. It's only the acherim, l'shem Pesach, bismano that's no good, but acherim, l'shem Pesach, shelo bismano would be good. Now how come, according to Rav Chisda v'amai, neima hoel u'bismano posel, you should apply the principle of hoel l'chumra, since if you were to shecht it, bismano would be posel, whole, since bismano it's posel, shelo bismano nami should be posel. And Rabbi Eliezer shouldn't say it's only posel if you're shechting it shorto bismano lishmo, it should even be, when you're shechting it shelo bismano, it should also be no good. That's the question Rav Huna Ber the Yeshua asks on Rav Chisda. Amar Rav Papa gives the answer. He says, no, shiny hossam. The reason why it's different over there is because the Pasuk says, in this week's Parsha, the Yom HaKro, v'amartem zevach pesach hu l'ashem. The Pasuk says, this shall be the zevach pesach. Parsha's bow. Who? Bahava Yosu. It says, V'amartim Zevach Pesach, who? It shall be a Korban Pesach. Lo, who? L'shum Acherim. It can't be offered for something else. V'lo Acherim L'shmo. And other Korbanos can't be offered L'shem Korban Pesach. It's no good if you do so. He learns it out from the Pasuk. V'amartim Zevach Pesach L'shem. Bismano. Therefore, Shehu Pasuk L'shum Acherim, during the time when it would be shechted for something else, it wouldn't be good. So Acherim Psulim L'shmo. Others would be possible if you shechted it in the name of the Korban Pesach. However, shelo bismano, if it's not during the zman, you dial it in the afternoon. Shukoshel shem acherim, it would be good for other korbanos. So therefore, acherim sherim lishmo. Others are also kosher if you shechted at that point in time for the Korban Pesach. And therefore, even Rabbi Eliezer would not be possible in that situation. Now we have a story. Rav Simloi also came to Rav Yochanan. Rav Simloi came to Rav Yochanan and he asked him, Amalei, Nisten Limar Sefer Yuchasin. Please teach to me Sefer Yuchasin. What is Sefer Yuchasin? So Rashi explains, this is Masnisin, the Divrei Hayomim. This is the Brises. These are the additional Tanoic discussions on Sefer Divrei Hayomim in Ksuvim. Marashar points out, it really has nothing to do over here with the Yuchasin, with the lineages, which they would read on a regular basis, once every 7 years, to make sure that all the Kohanim had the proper lineage. That's not what it's referring to. That's what Rav Simloi asked to learn from Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan tells him, you can't do that. Amalei, Mehechanato, where are you coming from, Rav Simloi? So Amalei, Milod. So Rav Simloi says, I come from Lod. Vehechan Mosavach, and where are you living right now? He says, Benardoi, I live in Ardoi. So Amalei, Rav Yochanan tells Rav Simloi, Ein nidonim lo leludim lo nardoim. We have a minog that we don't teach Sefer Yuchsin to people that come from either Lod or from Nardoi. Rashi gives two pshatim over here. One is just to push him off. He didn't want to teach it to him for whatever the reason. And he just pushed him off. Oh, we don't teach people from Lod or from Nardoi. Alternatively, he felt that the people that came from those places weren't really qualified. They weren't good people to go and teach Sefer Yuchsin too. So he didn't want to teach it to him. So therefore, Rav Yochanan tells him, We don't teach it to people who come either from Lod or from Nardoi, and you come from both. You were born in Lod, and you live in Nardoi, you certainly don't want to teach it to you. Fine. Kafye, Rav Shmuel was not happy, and he kept on pressing and pressing and pressing. Kafye means like he bound him, he tied him up. In other words, he begged Rav Yochanan, and finally Rav Yochanan agreed. Amalei. So Shmuel said, no, let's learn. We have 3 months over here. Let's go learn it together for the next 3 months, and we'll finish the learning. So Rav Yochanan was not happy with this. Shokal Kola and Pasak Bey. He took a piece of verse. Kola is like mutar, she says, a foreign language word for a clump of earth. And Pasak Bey, Shadi Bey, he threw it at him. He told him, Amalei. Uma Bruya, the great Bruya, who was the wife, the Visuda of Meir, she was the wife of Meir, who was also the daughter, Barate, the daughter of the great Rab Hananya bin Trajon. The great Rab Hananya bin Trajon, his daughter was the great Bruya, and she married Rav Meir, and she, who was a great, great Tamida Chachama, the Tanya, she herself learned Tlos Meir Shmaisis Obiyoma. She learned 300 learnings, 300 Shmaisis, 300 halachic rulings in a single day, from Mitlos Meir Ravasa, from 300 different Rabbanim. Now, the number 300 is always an exaggeration. In other words, he was saying that Bruya was a huge Tamida Chachama. The Ben Yehuda says she was like a Tana, that she was on an unbelievably high level of learning. And nevertheless, how long did it take her to learn Sefer Yochsin? It took her 3 years to learn Sefer Yochsin. And you, Rav Shmuloy, you want to try to learn in 3 months? No way. In any event, Kishako v'Ozil, Rashi explains that essentially Rav Yochanan refused to teach him, and Rav Shmuloy was taking leave of the Rebbe. So Kishako v'Ozil, as he was taking leave, Rav Shmuloy was leaving Rav Yochanan, he said, Rebbe, let me ask you a quick question. Ma bein lishmo v'shelo lishmo li'ochlov v'shelo li'ochlov. How come we have over here in the Korban Pesach that when you shecht it lishmo v'shelo lishmo, it's no good? The incorrect machshava ruins the correct machshava. But by ochlov, the incorrect machshava shaloli ochlov doesn't ruin it. So why should one ruin it and one not ruin it? Lishmo v'shalol lishmo is ruined by the shalol lishmo, but liochlov v'shalol liochlov is not ruined by the shaloli ochlov machshava. This was a very good question, and I'm late. So Yochanan said, "Nu hoil v'tzuvim rabbananat tov v'emaloch." Since you seem to be a Talmud Chacham, so I'll go and tell you the difference between the two cases. He still didn't teach him Sefer Yochsin, but at least he answered in this question. He says, Lishmo, Vishalo Lishmo, why does the Lishlo Lishmo ruin it when you have a Lishmo? That's Psul Begufo, because it's an intrinsic Psul over here that you're making it Shalo Lishmo. There's something intrinsically wrong with this carbon now. Li'ochlov, shlo li'ochlov, has nothing to do with the carbon. You said, I'm going to have this be eaten by people that aren't going to be capable of eating kizayis. And therefore, it doesn't intrinsically ruin the carbon. Therefore, ein psulo begufo, and that's the difference. That's why l'shmo, l'shlo l'shmo is ruined, and l'ochlov, l'shlo l'ochlov is not ruined. And furthermore, he says, lishmo, v'shelo lishmo, i'ev shalavara isuro. When he's saying that part of it is lishmo, and part of it is shelo lishmo, so which part? The hind part is lishmo, and the front part is shelo lishmo? It's all mixed in together. I'ev shalavara isuro. You can't say, well, this is isur, and this is heter. As opposed to li'ochlov, v'shelo li'ochlov, well, for Reuven and Shimon, they're going to eat the kezayis, and Levi and Yehuda, they can't eat the kezayis. Well, here's the kezayis for Reuven and Shimon, and here's the pachas b'kezayis for Levi and Yehuda. So, le'ochlov and shaloli ochlov, efshul levari risur. You can say this part is for Reuven and Shimon, who are ochlov, and this part is for Levi and Yehuda that are not ochlov. So you can distinguish what's isur and what's heter. Likewise, lishmo v'shelol lishmo yesh no bi'arba vodos. You can have a possible thought, lishmo and shelol lishmo, for all the four avodas, for the shechita, the kabbalah, the holocha, and the zrika. As opposed to, as we've already pointed out, the ochlov, shalol ochlov, that doesn't work by all four, eino bi'arba avodos, that only works by the shechita. And therefore, it doesn't work by the zrika. And finally, lishmo, shalol lishmo, yesh no b'tzibur ki b'yochid. This applies to a carbon tzibur, just like it applies to a carbon yochid. As opposed to, liochlov, shalol ochlov, eino b'tzibur ki b'yochid. That doesn't apply to the tzibur, because the Rabbeinu Chananel explains that the only carbon sibur that you eat is a shlamim, is the Kivsei Atzeres on Shavuos, and that's only eaten by the Kohanim, and it's not eaten by the Tzibur. So it doesn't apply, the Rabbeinu Chananel says, in regards to a Tzibur. As opposed to a Yachid, by the Korban Pesach, it applies. So therefore, for all of these reasons, Rabbi Yochanan says, we have the distinction between Lishmo, Shalol Lishmo, gets ruined, but Lo'ochlov, Shalol Lo'ochlov, doesn't get ruined. Ravashi adds, Ravashi Omar, Psulo Begufo, the Evshul Lavara, Risuro, Chodemilsi. These two points that Rav Yochanan made seem to be separate points. They're actually one and the same. The psul and the guf, the intrinsic psul and the guf by lishmo, that's not present by li'ochlov, and the efshol of avar risuro are really the one same thing. Chodem yosi. The matam omar psul b'gufo. What makes it an intrinsic psul and the guf? Because, mishum the efshol of avar risuro, because you can't say, well, this piece is mutter and this piece is aser, like you can be shal'ochlov, shaloli ochlov, this kazayis is for the mutter person, the kanit, and this other piece will not be able to be eaten by the cholo or the zokin, so therefore you can be mavara which piece is which. So these two, it's intrinsically a psul in the guf, is based upon the fact that you can be mavara which piece is usur and which piece is mutu. So that's Ravashi's knach over here in explaining Rav Yochanan. Now, we go back to our Sefer Yuchsin. Omar Rami Bar Rav Yudah Omar Rav. Rami Bar Rav Yudah Senim Rav. Yom Shinigna Sefer Yuchsin. This Sefer Yuchsin has been lost. Now, what does it mean it's been lost? Normally, nignas means it's hidden away. So the Tzlach explains that this was during the days still when it was also to write things down. This was before Rebbe came along and said, that if we don't write down the Torah, the Mishnah is going to be forgotten. People had reached a stage where they couldn't do everything by heart. So Rebbe said it's okay to write it down. But this Sefer Yochsin was around before they had the Heter to write it down, so it was just learned by heart. And that's why we use the Lashon over here, Miyom Shenignas Sefer Yochsin. Rashi explains that Nignas here means that it was forgotten. That's why Rashi says Nishtakach, because the Tzlach explains it wasn't yet written down. So therefore, it couldn't be lost, it was just forgotten. So in any event, Rami Bar Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that the day that they forgot Sefer Yochsin, when it was no longer remembered anymore, Toshash Kochon Shel Chacham, and the rabbis became weak, V'chom Orinam, and their eyes became dim. As Rashi explains, Shenignazu Mehen Tamei Torah Shayubo, we lost this huge piece of Torah, the Sefer Yochsin, the Braisos on Divrei Yamim, and this was a tremendous loss, and it weakened the Chacham, so to say, it weakened their ability to see. Amar Zutra, Zutra said, what was lost then? So we have between the words, Bein Otzel Li Otzel. Rashi explains, Shnei Mikrosim, there are two psukim in Sefer Divrei Yamin, Uparsha Gedol B'neim, and there's a whole shtickle between them, a whole big piece between them. It starts off La'atzel Shisha Bonim. And then, after many psukim, it says, the end of the Parsha, Eleb Ne'atzel. So that entire understanding of in between these words was lost. And the Gemara says, how much was lost? Te'inu Arba Ne'a Gamli D'drosha. There were 400 camels, how much they could carry on their backs, that's how much Torah was lost. Again, 300, 400, these are Loshon of Guzma. In other words, a tremendous amount of Torah was lost in between these psukim, just as an illustration of what we lost by losing Sefer Yochsin. Now we learn another braisa, Tanya. We learn in the following braisa, Acherim Omrim, the Acherim, that's usually Rav Meir. Rav Meir says, the Acherim Omrim, Hikdim Mulim La'arelim Kosher. If you said, I'm doing this, Shechting the Korban Pesach, L'shem Mulim, first, and then you say also L'shem Arelim, then it's kosher. But the Acherim say, if you did it the other way around, if you said it first, Arelim, I'm being Shoychet to Korban Pesach, L'shem Arelim, and then after you say, and also L'shem Mulim, puzzle, it's in fact no good. The order is important according to the Acherim, as opposed to in the Mishnah, we didn't seem to make any distinction whether you said one first or the other first, as long as it were Mulim, as well as Arelim, it was good. The Gemara says, "Maishno mulim la'arelim kosher." How come you say first mulim and then you say arelim? It's good. The kula arlo, but you know the leka. Because if they're all arelim, it's no good. But as long as some are mulim, it's good. So then, how come if you say it the other way around, like in our Mishnah? Why does the Acherim and the Braisa disagree with our Mishnah? Arelim lemulim nami. Even if you say the arelim first and you say the mulim afterwards, it's still fulfills kula arla bo'inon v'leka. It's not all arelim that you're doing it for, and therefore, if it's not all arelim that you're doing it for, it should be good. So why, in fact, do the Acherim say that the order makes a difference? So the Gemara says, let us say, lemo kisavri Acherim, that this opinion of the Acherim of Remeir is only eino l'shchito ela besov. This has to do with the halachic concept of whether we say that yeshno l'shchito mitchilov yatzov, or only do we say eino l'shchito ela besov. What does this mean? when you shecht a gan animal, you have to shecht through the majority of both pipes, the windpipe and the food pipe, the trachea and the esophagus. So when is the shechita completed? Do we say the shechita is only completed at the conclusion, or do we say the shechita is one continuous process from the beginning till the end? Now, we would know, let us say, leimo kisavri acherim, let us say that this opinion of the Acherim is that the actual act of the Shechita is only finished when you cut through the final part of the trachea and the esophagus. When you go through the majority of the second pipe, so then you now have finished the Shechita. And only at that moment can an improper machshava ruin it. So the Acherim hold that only the Shechita at the end, the Shechita ela b'sof, in the Shechita ela b'sof, that's the critical factor. And now we also bring in a machlokes that we had previously between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi as to whether we say that when a person says two statements, one contradicting the other, does he mean that both of them are in effect, Rav Yossi's opinion, that we don't say one is more correct than the other, that both of them have to be taken into account, whereas Rav Meir had said, you only go by the first statement that the person makes, and anything after that is ineffective. It doesn't take effect. So now, Uchid Rava, we add on to this machlokis of Eina L'shita Ela B'sof that we're saying the Acherim hold like, and we also apply it within the machlokis of Uchid Rava. What did Rava say? The Omer Rava, Adayin Hi Machlokis. It's a machlokis over here when you make two statements as to whether Rav Meir says only the first part takes effect, and Rav Yossi says that both parts take effect. So Hilkoch, Hikdim Mulim Li'arelim. If you're going to first mention Mulim, and then you're going to mention Arelim, so then Mulim Chayle, the statement that you made that this would be kosher for Mulim, that's Chal, because you take the first statement to effect, and Arelim, no Chayle, and the Arelim don't take any effect whatsoever. But Hikdim Arelim L'Mulim, if you go and say the Arelim first, so then the Arelim take effect, and Arelim Chayle, and Mulim, no Chayle. So Rav Meir holds what we said, the first statement takes effect, that's Tofus Loshon Rishon. So you go by the first thing, and the second statement that you make can't negate that. So if you say Mulim first, so then Mulim take effect. If you say Arelim first, then Arelim takes effect, and the other one cannot negate it. That's Rav Meir's opinion. Rav Meir is the Acherim. Now this full machlokas between Rava, what he says, and there's another opinion of Abaye. You can find in the Gemara in Zvachim, and Rashi alludes to this. There's a long Rashi over here, which we won't go through in detail right now. Maybe we'll do this tomorrow. But the bottom line is, if the all is said and done, if you hold like Rava, that in fact, Tofus Loshon Rishon, and you hold the opinion, Eino L'shlita Ela B'sof, then we can understand why the Acherim make a distinction between the order of the Mulim and Arelim, Arelim and Mulim. Now, again, we just touched upon this now. Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll go through this in a little bit more detail, but this is a good point for us to stop the shir. We'll chazer this all over again tomorrow.